And we are back for another episode of The Main Event. Today is episode 61, and we have two fantastic guests on the show. A couple of UFC stars, actually. Volkan Ozdemir, whose record is 14-1 now after dispatching of Misha Cirkunov in his last fight out for the UFC. He's now stepping up in competition to take on Jimmy Manoa at UFC 214, Jones versus Cormier 2. And that will be the co-main event of that big card. So we'll talk to him about a lot of things in his exciting future here in the UFC. Also, Matthew Lopez, who is 10-1. We've had him on the show before. Really exciting bantamweight. He beat Johnny Eduardo at UFC 212, Aldo versus Holloway, and that was via round one TKO punches. So he improves his record once again, picking up another win in the UFC, and we'll discuss what's next for him in the bantamweight division of the big show.
And I'm looking forward to having both of them on, but I'm not quite sure Ozdemir is actually in the co-main event anymore.
Really? Did they change that?
Well, because of a couple of different things, there's now two more title fights onto that, at least confirmed now. Cyborg is now facing Tanya, I'm trying to remember, is it Evinger? Because it's not Megan anymore. Megan dropped.
Yeah, I saw that. But she had some medical issues.
But she's now facing Tanya now. Yeah. And then also, too, Tyrone Woodley and Mayo, I think, is the new co-main event.
Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah.
That's right. That did get slided in there. Yeah, okay. So,
but it still is going to be a great card.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be a huge fight again if it happens. I still have my doubts that either John Jones or DC is going to be able to make it. I know it's very close to happening. We're, what, a month out from that one happening?
Yeah,
now?
It's July 29th.
And they actually just had their historical... California has these new weigh-in procedures for title fights. Do you hear about any of this?
A little bit, yeah.
So you normally would have your weigh-ins the day before the fight, and you have to be at a certain level, and then you can gain some weight afterwards, too. They don't want you to gain too much weight, and that's going to be some new weight limit restrictions in the future, so you're not gaining, like, 15 pounds afterwards, which would seriously be ridiculous anyways. But now for title fights, evidently, the California State Athletic Commission is now weighing these athletes 30 days prior to, just to make sure that they're not at a certain weight, they're not cutting down like 40 pounds or 30 pounds in 30 days.
And isn't that crazy how things are evolving? I remember talking to Marcus Davis, and he always used to tell me that he would cut 50 pounds sometimes to get
ridiculous
to the welterweight division. He'd walk around at 220. I mean, the guy's all muscle, and he cut down and make welterweight at 170, 50 pounds later. Mm. So, but, you know, honestly, with a couple of you know, horrific things that have happened with weight cutting and the sport evolving the way that it has, these are some of the necessary precautions that you're going to see a lot of state commissions really starting to focus in on,
right,
to make sure that these athletes are healthy and they're cutting weight the healthy way. You're not cutting too much because that can really cause some issues, not just currently in the fighters' day-to-day lives, but down the road when they get older, that can really cause some issues for them from too much weight loss and weight gain.
Exactly. But to the larger point, too, and I love this, I think that should be done more so in the UFC and Bellator throughout the nation, no matter where that the event's being taken place. I hope more athletic commissions throughout many states do that, because again, health is paramount to these fighters. You want to have them have a long lasting life outside of the octagon or cage. But I'm not quite sure. We've seen this time and time again where we've seen John Jones and DC, the rematch, be on the table, and then something happens, whether it's a Jones suspension, whether it's DC getting dinged up and injured, and then they have to kind of fall back onto something else. I'm not holding my breath that that's actually going to happen yet until it's the day before and both fighters make the weight and we're good to go. And even then, I'm going to be crossing my fingers and hoping that nothing happens. Because Jimmy Manoa has already been slated, and he's been told that he is going to get the next fight if one of those guys drops out. So it's either going to be against John Jones or it's going to be against DC if one of those two fighters can't make it. Which, it's awful for Ozdemir that he's going to have to sit there and like, well, I might have a fight, I only have to prepare for this one guy, but if something happens, then my payday is gone out the window unless the UFC decides to do something for him.
Well, hopefully, if that does happen, and geez, that would be awful if Jones or Cormier. I'm not quite on as at your level as far as being so worried about that, because I really think that these guys, they hate one another so bad that they are going to get to the point where hopefully they're going to.
But they've hate each other for so long.
Yeah,
it's been
that's
years.
That's why they want to get in there and punch each other again.
But then why has this happened time and time again? I know injuries are one thing, but I guess you could say it's more on John Jones than before, because he's been suspended now twice.
But that's just, you know, Jones doing stupid stuff and getting in trouble with the law and whatnot. So, you know, it is what it is. But I think that we're going to see this second matchup between these two, and they're going to get in there and throw down. But to your point with Ozdemir, hopefully the UFC has a backup plan for him, because if that were to happen, if Jones or Cormier were to fall out of this fight and they had to bump Manoa up, hopefully they have someone ready to step in to take on Ozdemir, because that wouldn't be fair to him.
See, I hope they pay him his money. That's the only thing I want to see. They don't need to have another opponent, because that's also not fair to him, having someone scheduled one day in advance or a week in advance. If it happens right now, like tomorrow comes around, and they say, oh, something happened with DC, now it's going to be Manoa versus John Jones, then I can understand. You get a month out to find someone for Ozdemir. But if it's like the week of, that's unfair to him too. They should at least have some sort of contingency plan in there to pay him some money, because that's the only thing that would be fair, in my opinion. If you're going to say to this guy, your opponent could be at any given moment's notice taken from you and given to someone else, you should have some sort of contingency plan as well to be able to provide for this fighter who did nothing wrong. It's not like he missed weight. It's not like he got injured during the weigh. Right. So hopefully that's going to be the case with him.
Yeah, I sure hope so, because, again, this is a guy that's on the rise, and not only do you want to see him face the right opponents to help him get to where he wants to go, but you also want to see him compensated fairly, which, unfortunately, for the UFC, they really haven't done that with a lot of fighters, historically speaking, so hopefully they're going to be able to really make some changes and pay some of these guys properly.
And that brings up a larger point, too, that I feel like needs to be touched on and addressed here as well. The UFC is the juggernaut in mixed martial arts. It's the pinnacle where everyone achieves to get to. People are making thousands upon thousands of dollars the higher levels you get up into the UFC. But for some of these fighters, like our friend Devin Powell, they're making a good amount of money, but they could be making more money, too, if they can continue in their UFC career. But as they begin, it's not necessarily big-time bucks, right? It's not like they're getting wealthy off of this one fight or so.
No, they're not getting NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball contracts by any way, shape, or form. And
not even practice squad NFL money, even. Numbers we were told are correct on some of these guys.
Yeah, and that should change. It needs to change, because this, you know, you would have to put this even more so than football as a violent sport. I mean, what they do is they go in and they hurt one another.
Right.
You know, football players, they're putting their bodies through everything, and they're getting paid the way that they should be. Mixed martial artists should get the same. So hopefully that changes at some point.
So that brings up my larger point, though. Bellator is actually being better to their fighters. They're paying them livable wages.
I knew that's where you were going.
Exactly. Aaron Pico, who did not look great. I mean, he was submitted with mere seconds into his first MMA fight, which, again, you could say maybe some merits of having an amateur fight there, too. But I digress. He was paid a monthly living wage by Bellator until he was finally able to step into the cage for the first time for the promotion. And you can say whether or not that was wise financially, but now they are starting to get some of these primetime free agent guys, some of these highly sought after guys, they're going to Bellator now as opposed to the UFC, because they can A, have their own sponsors, they can have all their sponsors behind them, they can be clad in whatever they want to, they're not beholden to the Reebok deal, and Bellator's honestly giving and keeping them in better pay in the interim as well, it seems.
I mean, look, you got guys like Rory McDonald, Phil Davis, the newly crowned champ Ryan Bader.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of UFC, former UFC fighters who still, in their respective weight classes, if they were in the UFC, would be top five, top ten in their own division. And they're jumping ship and going over to Bellator. You know, would you see Ryan Bader hold the belt in UFC? No, you wouldn't.
But that's not to say he couldn't.
But, you know, when you got guys like, you know, John Jones and Daniel Cormier.
I would argue that Bader, before his last loss, was on the cusp of getting there.
To me, he was always like, and I mean this with the most respect as possible, but to me, Bader was always like a gatekeeper. He's one of those guys that's right on that fringe. Like, he's going to beat all the other guys in the top 10, top 15 that aren't the elite, you know, because his wrestling pedigree. I mean, we saw it here in Bangor when he beat up Ovince St. Preux.
Right.
But he's one of those guys that there's something that he just doesn't have physically capable of like beating a Daniel Cormier or a Jon Jones, you know, or an Alexander Gustafsson. I think those guys are just, there's something that they have that's just, they're gifted with, that just sets them apart.
Though I would argue that Bader was extremely close to that pinnacle.
For sure.
He was right there at the top.
That's what I mean.
He just couldn't get to that point.
That's right. And that's my point of that,
right,
that gatekeeper, because he's right there,
right,
and he's beating all the other guys. He just can't beat the top couple guys,
right,
which there's no shame in that. I mean, he's the best in the world, you know, in that small group. So he goes over to Bellator. He's getting paid better, and, mm-hmm, and he wins a belt. Good for him.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's better for more mixed martial arts fans, too, because what that does is it gives the UFC a rival, a legitimate rival,
right,
in Bellator. And
right,
hopefully they keep getting more guys. And it is a couple rival promotions, because that's just more fun for us. More fights to watch, more things to discuss.
And you were talking, you just loved hearing Mike Goldberg back on that Bellator NYC pay-per-view. So it was a good card. You can see what you want to about having a main event of Chael Sonnen, who would not be welcome back in the UFC, but Bellator brings him in as a conquering hero. But it was a nice promotion. It's something that's to be built on. And again, they're bringing in good young talent, which has been the thing I've said about Bellator and what they needed to do for eons. They started doing that years ago. They went away from it to get these Dada 5000 / Kimbo Slice matches, which might have set the sport back a couple years. But now they're doing it the right way again, and I think that can only behoove the sport of MMA by doing so, because it helps out. And then you get the Professional Fight League now, too, which used to be World Series of Fighting, which, again, if they can continue to get national exposure, will help out all these local regional fighters get some else and other places to go in their MMA careers.
No doubt. And really, as things continue to progress, you're going to see more promotions become more legitimate, I feel like. You're just talking about with World Series of Fighting,
right,
morphed into the Professional Fight League. Bellator is growing. The UFC is the gold standard. There's all these other regional promotions, too. Like, we've had Zach Otto on before, and,
right,
and he has his promotion down there in Wisconsin. And they're doing great. You know, it's thriving. They're growing. That with the sport growing the way that it is, that's the, all these feeder systems to get up to the big shows,
right,
you know, is continuing to really evolve the sport. And I love it.
Heck, even CES has a national TV deal on Access.
Yeah.
Not that everyone gets it. I honestly will admit I don't get Access TV on my cable package. It's just something that I do not have access to. Funny. access to. But with that being said, they have exposure. People across the country could go and watch this promotion that's based mainly out of the northeast part,
yeah,
of the United States.
It's great. It's great.
Awesome.
And now we're going to get to see one of our old friends here on Dana White's new show,
exactly,
Matt Bissett, who,
yeah,
this is the opportunity that we've talked to him about that he's going to be looking for. This is going to be on Fight Pass, so again, you have to subscribe to,
right,
to see it.
Right.
But, you know, this just goes hand in hand with what we're talking about. All these different things, these different promotions, these different shows that are popping up, giving all these fighters a chance to really shine and you know, really put a stamp on how good they are, so maybe the UFC or Bellator notices them and gives them a chance.
Love it. Absolutely love it, and we wish the best of luck to Matt Bissett. No discouraging things to his opponent, but, you know, we got a soft spot for Matt.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. But I also spoke to his opponent, Kurt, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, Hollabau, I think that's right, Kurt Hollabau. But, yeah, he agreed to come on the show,
very
so
nice.
Maybe we'll get a chance to talk to him before that big showdown.
So we might have to split allegiances, is what you're saying.
Well, you know, we're all about being fair to everyone, so we definitely got to get him on and get the rival side for Matt Bissett's new opponent and see what he's got to say. Maybe he comes in and puts on a huge show. You never know.
We got the Mangler in one corner, and we got I don't know what his nickname is. What's the other guy's
nickname?
I'm
not sure. I think he's just good old Kurt.
Just old Kurt. I like that. That's the nickname
Kurt
right there. Good old Kurt. Good old Kurt. Well, we'll see that one. It should be a good time. But MMA stuff, this is where it actually really picks up. I think mixed martial arts really takes over in the summertime. Combat sports in general take over in the summertime. Heck, we got a Manny Pacquiao fight on cable TV tonight. That's going to be phenomenal. I'll be sitting and watching that one. There's some good professional wrestling and whatnot that I'm going to be checking out as well. So it's going to be a good summer, I think, of professional fighting just across the board, even with Conor McGregor and Mayweather now confirmed too.
Woo, yeah, and we won't dive into that. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that.
I feel like we'll do a special show for that one.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Get some
no
boxing MMA people on and see if we can really delve deeply
yeah.
and, maybe get a little tally mark and see where everyone thinks it's going to go.
I think the chances of getting a Conor McGregor or Floyd Mayweather on the show might be harder at this point.
Wait, what?
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. You got to climb. Just like these fighters climb to get to the UFC, we're going to continue to climb to get to the pinnacle of our broadcasting.
What did George Michael say? You got to have faith.
I do have faith.
But I'm also very
realistic. Realistic.
That doesn't really rhyme as well.
No, it doesn't. But you know.
Also, Ariel Helwani was like begging Connor's people. He's like, yeah, I was listening to the MMA report, and he's like, yeah, love to have Connor on before. I know he's quite busy preparing, but you know, we were on the ground floor, and they're like, yeah, we'll see, Ariel. Whatever. Yeah. But, you know, Ariel Helwani's here. Yeah. The main event is here. I'm not going to actually tell where my hand motions were because you can glean from that what you will, because I do not want to offend Ariel Helwani, the GOAT of MMA reporters, in my opinion.
He's pretty darn good.
Yeah, very much so. All right, well, we've blabbered too much. We should get into talking with the real experts of the sport of MMA, and maybe we can do a little bit more blabbering later on.
Yes, sir. We'll be right back with Volkan Ozdemir. Here at the main event, we are very proud to be sponsored by the Sea Dog Brewing Company. A couple of big things that are going on this summer at the Sea Dog. Tuesday nights, you can get $2 tacos as well as $2 Modelos. And from 6 to 8:30 on Tuesday nights, they have Name That Tune. So that's a good fun evening to do with the family or your friends if you want to head down to the Sea Dog on Tuesdays for $2 tacos and $2 Modelos. Also on Thursday nights from 6 to 8:30, they have trivia and prizes for trivia. So if you want to go and have some fun and test your knowledge and win some prizes, the Sea Dog is the place to go. As always, the Sea Dog is located at 26 Front Street in Bangor on the Penobscot River. You can reach them at 947-8009. Or if you're online, you can check them out at seadogbrewing.com and on Facebook at Sea Dog Bangor. The main event is proud to be sponsored by the Sea Dog. And really, when you get a chance, go down to the Sea Dog and check them out, because not only is the menu the best, but they have unbelievable drafts on tap and a fun environment for everyone to enjoy. The Sea Dog, Front Street, Bangor. Joining us now is a UFC light heavyweight on the rise. After dispatching of Misha Cirkunov at UFC Fight Night 109, he will jump back into the octagon next in the co-main event of UFC 214 when he faces Jimmy Manoa in a bout with huge title implications. Volkan Ozdemir joins the main event. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for welcoming me.
It's a pleasure. It's great to have you on. I've been looking forward to getting you on the show for a long time now. First off, I got to ask you, I'm really curious on your last opponent, on your thoughts of Misha Cirkunov's game. Prior to the fight, did you expect a three-round war, or did you see an early knockout win for yourself, which is exactly what happened?
I was expecting an early knockout anyway. That's what I'm trying to do all the time. I think my 11 wins in the first round, and this is just something I'm used to do, and I'll always try to come strong.
Now, when Misha came forward and backed you up against the cage, what were your thoughts in that situation? And when you landed that big shot that put him out, did you immediately know that he was out cold?
Oh, I felt it, yes. I felt some electricity through my hands, and I knew that at that time that he was going to go down, and that's it. Then I just had to continue some ground and pound, and the fight was over.
Wow! And what were your immediate thoughts after this huge win? I mean, you had to have known after you knocked him out that this was going to really put you in that upper echelon of the elite light heavyweights in the world. And again, now you're going to be facing Manoa here in a big in a big matchup that has title implications. So how excited were you when you knocked out Cirkunov?
That was great. I think that fight confirmed my position in the top five ranking. And now I'm just going to go after the big fish. And Manoa is the next one. And that fight's going to be great. It's going to be the co-main event. on UFC 214, and it's just going to be a huge fight.
Well, I want to ask you about that Manoa fight, because if DC or John Jones can't go in the main event, then Manoa is going to step up into the main event to replace whoever can't go. Are you a little worried that that may ruin your chances for this big-time fight in the co-main event?
I'm willing to fight anyone anyway, so that's my thoughts. My focus is on Manoa, so I really hope the fight goes through. But I think Jones now is back, and he's dedicated, he's a champ anyway, so he's going to go through the fight with these.
Now, what are your thoughts on Manoa's game? Obviously, he's been around for a while. He's got a lot of power. What impresses you about him?
I think he's unidimensional. He's a good striker. He has a strong left foot. He's powerful. But he has no ground game. And I think, that's something, you cannot have, when you're in a top of the division.
So as far as his biggest deficiency, you were saying that he doesn't have a ground game. Is that your best chance at getting a victory here? Do you think if you can stifle his offensive output on the feet and get him to the ground that you're going to be able to submit him maybe?
No, I think I just have more tools overall, but I'm going to go there and I'm going to strike him because I want to see also who's the best striker in the division now that everybody just went away.
Yeah, and you clearly prove that your striking is top notch with knocking off Misha Cirkunov, in your last fight here. Now, as far as getting this fight where it needs to go, you say you want to prove that you're a better striker than him on the feet. Does it really matter though where the fight goes? Do you feel like you have an edge on him in every area as a mixed martial artist?
Yeah, I think I'm more complete and I'm more technical on my feet than. I think it's then 50-50, it's all about where can you bring the game. So I'm not a smart fighter, and I know this is something I do really well, bring the fight wherever I want.
So give us a little prediction here. How do you see this fight finishing?
I'm going to go exactly the same style as our fight, so I'm going to go for a knockout in the
first round. I love it. Yeah, I can't wait to see this fight. I was talking to Brian after watching your unbelievable performance against Misha, and I was floored. I was like, wow, this is a guy that really can contend for the light heavyweight belt. And Volkan, we all know that how unpredictable the UFC can be with deciding, who gets a title shot and who doesn't. Having said that, does a win over Manoa, and a big win, does that get you the winner of Jones-Cormier?
I think it all depends who's winning the fight. Hopefully, if you win the fight, it's not going to be a rubber match. So, it's going to put the division on hold again. But I think Gustafsson is next, but I'm going to do all my best to put on a great fight. So my name will be there before.
Now, are you surprised at your ascent in the UFC light heavyweight ranks? And some people are saying that you not necessarily deserve that title fight. What would you say to those people who are dissenting on your very quick rise to the top?
I think it's something people have to understand. I mean, it's a 10-year process. Everything that happened right now was really fast, but I've been training for all my life. I was 16, 15, 16, and it's been a non-stop process, and now I'm just coming to the top, and I was stuck under contract for a few years. I wasn't able to fight, and now I'm just, the business is unleashed.
Yeah, and things are going very well for you, sir. Now you said that you think that Gustafsson would be in line next if there isn't a rubber match between the two. Do you think that Jones will reclaim his belt, or do you think Cormier is going to retain and get the job done?
I think Jones is going to win the fight.
You do. And so, obviously, a lot of people feel that Gustafsson-Jones fight was extremely close. It really could have gone either way, depending on how you scored it. But do you think if Gustafsson and Jones do fight after the Jones-Cormier matchup, how do you think that will go? I'm just trying to figure out who your next opponent will be when you get that title shot.
So, hopefully, I mean, that's the fight people want to see. Like, Gustafsson Jones number two because of the outcome of the first one. So, even me, you know, it's going to be interesting, but I don't want to be, waiting on that fight. So, if that fight happens, I want to fight one more time at the end of the year.
And who makes sense? Who else in the light heavyweight division comes to mind? Obviously, Gustafsson just knocked off Glover Teixeira. Would a fight with Teixeira make sense?
So, I think Teixeira just lost the fight, so maybe Shogun. I don't know how active he's going to be this year. Shogun or Teixeira for sure, but yeah, he's going to have to be one of the two.
Yeah, either way, that's an exciting matchup that the fans will love to see. Now, I'm curious, Volkan, after this big matchup with Jimmy Manoa at UFC 214, what are your plans after the fight? Do you intend to take some time off and maybe do something for yourself, or are you just going to be completely engulfed in training and getting ready for whoever's next?
It's been a while. I haven't taken time off, but actually, I love it. Even though I was after the fight, I was in Switzerland. I just did a lot of promotional stuff, a lot of media. I was going, you know, back and forth everywhere. I was going to stand everywhere in Switzerland. And I just keep on working on stuff. And, you know, why not? I can just take another fight at the end of the year. Then, you know, I just take maybe a few weeks off. But, you know, it's like the fight is in my blood, so I don't want to be away from the sport.
So, obviously MMA is completely that. I mean, that's your thing. That's your whole world right now. But what are some of the other things that you like to do to relax when you do get time off? What are some of your hobbies?
I just got a dog actually, and I've been waiting to get a dog for a while. So right now I'm going to the beach with the dog. You know, I'm going out. I love to hike. I love to go hiking. And, you know, I love to be outside a lot, actually.
Well, we have to ask, what kind of dog did you get?
I got a Dogo Argentino.
Ooh, very nice. Very nice dog.
And what'd you name him? What's his name?
Nacho.
Nacho. Oh, nice. Very cool. Now, are you guys going to be doing a little running, or is he going to be helping you train while you're heading to the...
Oh, yeah. He's going to be my partner. Sure.
Very cool. Yeah, dogs are the best. I absolutely adore dogs. They're the best thing on the planet. Now, finally, Volkan, before we let you go, I got to get your thoughts on this huge matchup between Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. It's completely, you know, just capturing not just the combat sports world, but just the world in general. It's like the biggest thing that's happened in a while. What do you think is going to happen here in this fight when it takes place in August? Obviously, Mayweather is the significant favorite as a boxer, and if it was a mixed martial arts matchup, well, I mean, obviously, I think McGregor would just run right through him. But what's going to happen in this fight? Does Conor stand a chance?
I think Conor has a chance. Conor just, you know, he needs so much in himself, and he has such a big mental. He's just so strong mentally, you know, and he's capable of doing anything. It's just crazy. So I have to go with Conor because, you know it's just going to bring so much positive stuff for the MMA community. And, yeah, I mean, that fight is going to be, it's just going to help everybody. You know, it's going to help boxing, you know, to give a second breath to boxing, you know, give boxing a little bit of show. You know, they lost the show business a little bit, you know, last year, and MMA is going to just grow. We're going to have more money coming up with MMA, more sponsors and stuff like that, so it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait, and I'm with you 100%. I want Conor to win so bad. I think it'll just be amazing for the sport of MMA and just for combat sports in general. This is just going to be an unbelievable event. So I cannot wait to watch it. Thank you so much for joining us today, Volkan. Now, again, for everyone listening, he is the number 4 ranked light heavyweight in the world, and he will take on number 2, Jimmy Manoa, in the co-main event of UFC 214, Cormier versus Jones 2, and that will be on Saturday, July 29th at the Honda Center in Anaheim, California, and live on pay-per-view. Thank you for joining us today, Volkan. We wish you the best of luck against Jimmy, and let's have you back on the show in the future.
Thank you, no problem.
All right, have a good day.
You too.
The heat is on, the summer is here, and there are so much fun things to do in this area. But you know what you need to do first and foremost? You need to have a good, enjoyable dining experience with really good food. Because you know what? That's first and foremost on my summer wish list. Yeah, it's getting a nice tan, it's working on the summer body, but it's also enjoying some of these great food items at the Sea Dog on the Front Street in Bangor. If you know me a little bit, you know I'm not one to really stray off of the burgers or the grilled cheese or whatnot. And that's why there's these perfect items here that can mix something I'm very familiar with something also I'm going to enjoy, like this lobster grilled cheese. It's sourdough grilled cheese with a lobster salad in the mix. So I get the comfort I have with a grilled cheese, but I can also include a little lobster. Get a little on the wild side there. How about a crab cake BLTA? Yeah, it's a crab cake served on a house bun with bacon, lettuce, tomato, and avocado. Oh, that sounds so good. There's so many great items at the Sea Dog at Front Street in Bangor for you to try, like a baked stuffed lobster entree as well, panko salmon, skewered tips, chicken and artichoke pasta. I'm just salivating thinking about all these things on the new 2017 Sea Dog Summer Menu. Go check it out for yourself. Tell them the Main Event sent you, and go try out some of these delicious, delicious items and wash it down with a nice, tasty beer. I would recommend the Blue Paw. It's my absolute favorite. One of the first beers I ever consumed as a legal, consenting 21-year-old who was able to buy alcohol, it was one of the Sea Dog Blue Paws. Absolutely one of my favorites. I'm actually going to go out there and buy one immediately after the show. We got to get some business done. But once this is over, I'm going to go get a Sea Dog Blue Paw because it sounds delightful on a nice summer day like today. Go check him out, Sea Dog on the Front Street in Bangor.
Back on the show is a UFC bantamweight who picked up his second consecutive win in the UFC with a round one finish of Johnny Eduardo at UFC 212 on June the 3rd. Matthew Lopez is back on the Main Event. Thank you as always.
Thank you for having me.
It's definitely a pleasure. I was watching with bated breath when you were competing, cheering you on, and what an extremely impressive victory on a huge stage at that. This has to be the biggest win of your career so far, right?
I would have to say yes. Well, the highest rank and, you know, like you said, the biggest stage.
Yeah, and you really put on a show and really started to open some eyes here in the bantamweight division. What was the game plan heading into this fight, and is there any way this fight could have gone any better for you?
Game plan, we kind of really don't have a game plan. We adjust and we make tweaks and changes as we go along, but I really felt that I could beat him on the feet and I could beat him on the mat. And on the feet, it was just taking me a little... I wasn't expecting the inside leg kicks, so it's just taking me just a little bit longer to get his range and hit adjustment. And, I really wanted to knock him out on the feet. That's the only way it could have gone any better, but, I can't really complain.
Yeah, I mean, again, you looked amazing. And as you said earlier here, what a big stage to get this statement victory on. What was this experience like visiting and competing in Brazil?
Oh, man, it was phenomenal. Like, when I first found out that I was going to Rio, I wasn't, like, too thrilled about the travel and the weight cut and all that stuff. But once I got there, I was amazed by the hospitality. It was beautiful. It was 70, like low 70s. Sun was shining the whole time, and it was just a great experience. I can't thank like the people of Brazil enough. It was they really made us feel at home.
Now, is there like any interesting or unique story that you can tell us of something that happened while over there? Maybe something the fans said or just some experience that maybe took you by surprise?
Oh, man, I really... Not really. There wasn't anything that really jumped out like that. It was just a great time, all in all. When I was getting ready to walk out to the cave, you know, people were like doing the throat slashing to me and yada yada yada. But when I was walking from the cage after the win, everybody wanted to take a picture and
right.
give me a hug and slap my hand. It was pretty funny. How fast in a matter of 5 minutes
things change.
Yeah, but they're all about competition and
yeah, right.
And they don't. Really, I don't give a. They don't really give a shit who wins or loses. They just want to see a good fight, and they're gonna cheer you on either way.
Now, when you see fans like doing the throat slashing and all that stuff, does that type of fanfare, does that amp you up and make you more focused and tuned in? Or obviously, you probably wouldn't even admit if it got in your head or not. But I'm just curious, as a professional mixed martial artist, I mean, you're at the top of the food chain here and the biggest promotion in the world. How does that type of stuff affect you, or does it not even at all?
I try not to let it affect. Either or. I try not to let it get me mad or excited or anything like that. Especially moments before you walk into the cage. You don't want to be peaks and valleys as far as your nervous system and your adrenaline and stuff. You don't want to be the high of the high and then, once you get in the cage, be very low energy. You want to just keep an even platform as far as, like, your energy level. So, until the fight starts, then your energy level can go up, so I just try. I take it in stride. It's not a big deal to me. I know they don't mean it. I know, like, I can't fight the fans. But you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's not a big deal. I think if you let it get to you or you let something like that get to you, maybe this is probably not the sport for you.
Now, I have to imagine that after the fight, you went and had medicals and everything checked out. Did you get a chance to watch the main event, Aldo and Holloway, or any of the other fights?
I did. I had medicals, but there was enough time to where I actually got checked out, everything like that, then jumped on a shuttle, and I was back at the hotel, and I watched it at the hotel.
Oh, okay. Were you surprised by the outcome? Did you think Holloway was going to get the job done?
I picked Holloway at the beginning. I just thought, his win streak and the way he's evolving, he's going to be hard to beat. I honestly thought, I think that if he fought, a McGregor now, he would win. But
really?
I was very surprised. I was very surprised that Aldo rocked him so early and had him. Aldo was winning the fight. Up until the third round, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was very, very close. But, yeah, I think Aldo had the bigger shots early in the fight for sure.
Yeah, and I think it really the tides changed when in the late, in the second, Holloway started taking, his better shots and, throwing his hands up, Nate Diaz style, and kind of got into his head. And then Holloway started to run away with it. But, yeah, I had Holloway from the beginning. I just didn't think that Aldo was gonna put some leather on him like he did in the first and second round.
Yeah, and I'm curious what your thoughts on the fans, how loud they got when Aldo would come around. Obviously, if you took off after medicals and you weren't in the arena when the main event started, but you at the weigh-ins and whatnot. What is the scene like when he comes out?
His celebrity status. He's a rock star there. It is pretty crazy how much. So there was a couple other Brazilians, actually guys from Rio de Janeiro there. You know what I mean? But you can't compare it to when he came out. I'm telling you, it's like I don't even know what we could compare it to here in America as far as like.
It's like when the Beatles were
crazy.
At their height.
Yeah, we can't even really put that into any kind of context because we weren't there,
Right.
A Justin Bieber. Not even that, because he's not super, it was almost rock star status.
Right.
Like,
that's funny. And I'm sure there wouldn't be a lot of teeny bopper girls that were there screaming for Aldo like it would be Bieber.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, Matthew, what is next for you? This huge win, this really, steps you up in competition, I'd have to say, here in the bantamweight division. Does anyone come to mind you'd like to fight next?
Well, I had in mind, I wanted Alton Sterling, but I had planned that fight before. He had signed on to fight Burrell, so I don't know. you know, with the way the UFC landscape is always changing, you never know. I think that UFC 212 was a good was definitely a moving day for our bantamweight division. So anybody above me, I'll tell you this: I'll never turn down a fight. I'll never turn down a fight at all. So whenever the UFC gives me, if they give me the last ranked guy or the number one ranked guy, it doesn't matter. I'm still gonna show up to fight. So I really don't give a shit.
Now, you know, another bantamweight that competed and won on the same card as yourself is Brian Kelleher, and he's actually on the same show here today for us. What are your thoughts on his debut, and is there a chance that maybe the two of you might tangle at some point down the line?
He had a great debut. You know, I mean, he went out there and choked up the number 13 guy in the world. I don't know. I don't see anything happening from my point of view. I think I'm surpassed him. I don't even think he's in the rankings or anything. So, I mean, shit. If they wanted that fight, then I'll take it. Like I said, there's not one. If they said you got to put your mom in the main event on International Fight Week, me and my mom are gonna fight. So.
Now, as far as the time frame goes, Matthew, obviously your mom's not going to be in there fighting you. when would you like to step back in next? You seem pretty healthy. You didn't take much damage. If you got a call to fight next month, would you jump in and take it?
Absolutely. Right now, we're kind of focused on Justin Gaethje's training, the rest of his training camp. You know, I was already back in there today working, helping him get ready for Michael Johnson in July, the beginning of July. So, I mean, he's for the last 12 weeks put the focus on me. So for the next 4 weeks, you know, it's his turn to get that. But I would say any time after that, I'm ready.
Talk about Gaethje a little bit. I was able to be front row covering the World Series of Fighting when he beat Marlon Moraes in New York City on New Year's Eve. How good is Gaethje, and how is his skill set going to translate to the UFC?
He's the best in the world. Here's the thing: is that what people don't understand is that he's got this. You saw him fight. You get to watch something that you'd really never seen before.
Yeah.
Tell me if you've seen another guy fight like him.
No, honestly, like he's like a quicker, faster like zombie. I mean, the guy never stops; he just keeps coming at you. It's crazy.
And he hits harder, and he's got better technique, and you know what I mean. He's just everything that you want to see in a fighter. What people don't realize is that what he does, that pressure that he puts on people, just completely breaks them. And that's what it is. It's people just can't do it anymore, you know, for that sustained period. I would say he's fighting McGregor in less than a year and a half.
Wow.
That being if everything with McGregor doesn't go all Hollywood.
Right.
He gets the Mayweather fight and yada, yada, yada. If he sticks to MMA, Justin will have that fight in less than a year.
Speaking of the McGregor Mayweather fight, I read today that Mayweather Promotions rented out the MGM Grand, I think August 26th, for a boxing event. If that fight does happen, what do you think will transpire in the ring? I mean, obviously it's not an MMA matchup; it's a boxing matchup. If it was MMA, I think you'd see Conor take him down to the ground and ground and pound him out real quick. But this is going to stay on the feet, obviously, as a boxing match. Does Conor stand a chance here, or is he just going to get completely embarrassed?
I would be surprised if Conor McGregor landed one clean shot in 12 rounds.
Wow. Yeah, you know, it just seems like a lot of people feel the exact same way. We had Marcus Davis on the show last week, and he said something similar, you know. And the only thing that I hold out hope for, and obviously I'm an MMA junkie at heart, I would be rooting for Conor to pull up the upset because I think it would be amazing. But, you know, Floyd is 40 years old, and Conor is right in the physical prime of his career at, you know, 28. I don't even think he's 29 yet. So, I maybe that could play a factor, maybe, but I don't know.
Here's the devil's advocate to that story, or that that scenario is that how many times have you seen Floyd Mayweather get rocked? How many times have you seen him take a clean shot? You know, in his 49 fights, the only time I've seen him get even hurt was against Mosley.
Mosley, yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
His style is to hit and not get hit, and everybody says that they try. That's the ultimate goal, right?
Right.
But he's actually done that, so. I don't know. It's apples and oranges.
I think either way, the winner will be the fans, because this will just be something that will be so overhyped and have such a build-up to it that when it does happen, it's just going to do monstrous pay-per-view numbers.
It will.
Now, obviously, you talked about you're getting ready for Justin Gaethje, preparing him to take on Michael Johnson. Is that pretty much all that's on tap for you over the next 4 weeks or so? Are you going to have a chance to do anything for yourself or do any vacationing after that?
No, I don't know. Well, I'll be in Vegas for Justin's fight, so that might be a little. And it's 4th of July weekend, so I might get a pool party or two in there. But other than that, you know, I kind of want, if possible, I would like to fight into September and before the new year. So I would like to get 2 more fights in before this actual fiscal year. So if that's the case, then I really am not going to have time to do anything.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, you got to put your career first, and with this most recent win, the future is bright for you, my man. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and I can't wait to see you step back in the octagon again soon. Before we let you go, is there anybody that you'd like to thank or any sponsors you'd like to give a shout out to?
Just Team Genesis here in Arvada, California, or Colorado. You know, my coaches, Trevor Whitman, Justin Gaethje, you know, Landau Performances. And, you know, family and friends and everybody that continues their support.
Well, again, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and we look forward to seeing you step back in soon, Matthew.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Well, this is our last show before the 4th of July, so I felt like doing a song that really encapsulates the United States, or maybe one that doesn't matter at all, or doesn't really connotate the United States as much in terms of... People think Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen is like a direct song about the passion of the United States, but no, it's like an anti-USA war song, so... Anyways, we wish you a happy Independence Day and 4th of July, whether you're listening to this on the 5th of July or in December... Or if you are just listening to it right before it or on the 4th of July, we wish you and your own as well a happy 4th and also a happy Canada Day.
Yes, sir. And also to just follow up on wishing everyone a happy 4th, myself, Brian, and Sean Gilday, the owner of Combat Sports Nation, have been busy putting together a little video with some fighters, just kind of giving shout-outs to everyone saying a happy 4th of July, and that will be released, I believe, on the 4th of July.
Nice.
So just to give you a sneak preview, a couple names like Fernando Gonzalez and Matt the Mangler Bissett.
Right.
Have you know, helped us out, and you know, they'll be in there in the video, and it should come out pretty cool, so be on the lookout for that.
Now, we are recording this on the 1st of July, so are you doing anything special for Canada Day? Are you gonna have some maple syrup, or you know maybe ride a beaver?
Well, you know, actually, yeah, I think I might ride a beaver.
You're gonna ride a beaver?
Yeah, might find one later, and you know, ride that beaver.
You just going to be on one beaver, or is it going to be like two different beavers? Are you going to find like a whole bunch of beavers?
No, just I'm a one beaver kind
You're
of guy.
You're a one beaver kind of guy. Yeah. All right. Is this beaver going to have a lot of teeth, like two big teeth on the front?
You know, I'm kind of more into just, you know,
traditional
straight,
beaver?
Yeah, traditional okay. beaver, straight teeth, you know, not spaces or
okay, yeah, yeah.
You know,
just the normal, pretty clean cut beaver?
Yeah,
okay.
That's kind of my thing.
What about...
Not tattoos, I'm not really into tattoos on beavers.
What kind of a beaver has a tattoo?
Well, you know, sometimes they you know, if they're out in the woods long enough, their skin or their fur can, you know, change different colors, and that's kind of their version of tattoos.
Huh. Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you celebrate Canada Day a little different than I do, okay? I was just going to maybe listen to O Canada once and have some maple syrup, but you're just going to be looking for beavers with tattoos on it. That's
no,
to each their own.
Without tattoos.
Without tattoos. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. I digress. Anyways, we talked about a little bit earlier about UFC 214 and some other news and notes. I do want to mention this one. Tyrone Woodley versus Damian Maia is going to be one hell of a fight. The only thing I wish we could have had was a little bit more time for these guys to prepare, because you're talking in a less than a 2 month fight camp.
It's really not fair to Maia in particular, because Woodley's the champ. You know, even if he were to get caught, he easily get another title shot pretty quickly. It maybe even an immediate rematch. You know, but Damian Maia, he's been busting his butt for a long time now just to get this title shot, and he's had to beat this guy and he had to beat that guy, and you know, this was a his last fight when he remind me who he beat last. I'm trying
Damian
to
Damian Maia?
Yeah.
Oh God, who was it? Give me a second. I got it right here.
But anyways, my point is he's really overcome a lot to
Masvidal.
Get to this point. Yeah, Jorge Masvidal. Yeah. So you know, that the fact that he's here now and he doesn't get a full training camp, it's really unfortunate for him, because to prepare for someone like Tyrone Woodley, you need a full training camp.
Yeah, he's a freak athlete, though his last fight was very disappointing against Wonderboy, because I think both guys were super tentative. He still has a ton of talent in the world.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And this is going to be the classic striker versus grappler right here. You know, and Tyron has that unbelievable wrestling pedigree. He's going to be really, really careful if he takes the fight to the ground against Maia, because you make one mistake and Maia will capitalize and submit you. So I think Tyron really is going to have to land some big shots and really put Maia on the defense and potentially, you know, maybe knock him out or TKO him, because I don't think he wants to go to the ground with Maia. I think that'd be bad news for him.
And then if GSP comes back, I always have to say, because until I see him in the octagon, you never know, because things can happen. And I'm not saying that as a slight to GSP, it just, you never know, things can happen. I'm still not quite sure John Jones will be back in there and fighting, because you never know, things can happen, life happens. But he would get the winner of this one. So it begs the question, you gotta imagine Dana White, right, wants Tyrone Woodley in that matchup over Maia. But what happens if it is Maia going against GSP? I mean, that's going to be a tremendous battle, but is that one that's you really want for GSP's first fight?
No, we were talking about this off air about what the fans want to see. You want to see knockouts. You want to see, you know, people standing up and banging. And George St. Pierre versus Damian Maia would be a snooze fest, because it would go down to the ground unless George just utilized his jab the whole
fight.
But he'd be literally just, you know, having takedown defense against Maia, trying to keep it on the feet and using his jab and throwing Superman punches. You know, if the fight does go to the ground, which you think that it would, George is unbelievably good at staying in top position and throwing elbows and punches and working from the top. But with someone as skilled as Maia is on the ground, that is a scary, scary task for anyone, because as I mentioned earlier with Woodley, you make one mistake and it's over. So, yeah, I think Dana is probably pulling for Woodley to win this fight and set up that big matchup with him and GSP.
Then it begs this question. If Woodley does lose and Maia takes the title, does he then look at GSP and say, maybe we'll wait for Bisping, maybe we'll slide Bisping in for that fight instead and try to go back to that well? Because that Maia fight isn't necessarily as dreamy as, say, Tyrone Woodley versus GSP.
Well, I mean, I really hope that regardless of the winner, that GSP gets the shot. Because, look, you know, we talked about this before. He was originally slated to fight Bisping for the middleweight title.
Right.
And he never fought at middleweight.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And so, that's where most of my disdain for his comeback has come from.
I get that. But, you know, GSP is one of the all-time greats in the sport, and I think what they're looking for is just a big marquee matchup, a championship fight. And when he was originally announced he was coming back, Woodley and Wonderboy, they were getting ready to go at it for a second time, so they was going to have to wait. Well, it turns out that it would have been fine anyways, because George is on the shelf waiting anyways. So I think that this is the right call. George technically never lost his welterweight belt. He retired. Let him fight for it and see if he can win it back. I don't think a fight at middleweight really makes sense. I think people want to see George see if he can recapture the 170-pound belt, you know, and that's what the fans want to see. I think that's what, you know, at least the hardcore fans like myself,
right.
And I think you feel the same way, that you'd like to see him and fight for the 170-pound belt.
Yeah, I want to see that fight if that's the case. And I understand that now the UFC necessarily isn't to you win on merit and you get your title shots on merit. Right, it's more about trying to match up these big time fights, and there is some understanding on that one. You're trying to make money. This is the whole point of the UFC. For the fighters, sometimes it's to make money and to also have the acclaim and win the title. But for the fight promoters, the bookers, they're trying to make money first and foremost and have an entertaining product. So I would get it if they tried to make some sort of a move there, but I hope they don't, because if Damian Maia wins it, he deserves to have that fight against GSP, and
no doubt.
I do not need to see GSP fighting Bisping or anyone else just because it's a sexier matchup.
Yeah.
Unless it's one of the Diaz brothers, then I'm perfectly fine with it. Let's make that
Nick's
happen.
Nick's in some trouble again.
I know.
Popped for some, some anti-doping violations, and now.
Well, I'm pretty sure those are because he just didn't show up for him for the test, right? It's not that he was popped again. We'll have to check on that one, because I didn't actually go fully into the story, but I was reading something about it basically where it says he just didn't show up. He's basically shooting himself in the foot, not wanting to fight again.
Yeah, I saw it the other day, and I was just like, oh no, again. I immediately here may get hit with anti-doping violation. This is per Bleacher Report here. But yeah, it says that the UFC announced Thursday it was made aware that the U.S. anti-doping agency, USADA, which serves as the independent administrator for sports anti-doping policy, told Nick Diaz of a possible violation, and it comes for his alleged accumulation of 3 whereabout failures within a 12-month period. So
he's not even showing up for the drug test.
He's like, I don't need to. I need to show up for no test, homie. Like, come to my house. Just, you know, I'll pee in a bucket for you. Whatever.
I'm just going to, like, Snapchat location where I am, and you can come find me.
Isn't that creepy? Have you seen that?
I don't have Snapchat. I've just heard about it.
Yeah, I deleted mine because...
You deleted your Snapchat?
Well, people can like, find out right where you are now.
Yeah.
If you're friends with them, that's creepy. I don't like that.
Yeah, super creepy.
The way that...
I was ahead of my time. I just decided not to get Snapchat because I was like, I'm at a certain age where I don't need to be sending pictures of myself or pictures of things that I'm doing to other people, so I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And then this came down, and I'm like, one for the Gipper here.
Smart man, Brian.
Mm. So we'll see. I'd like to see Nick back, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon. I'd love to see his brother Nate in the cage at some point as well.
Tell me
but,
about it.
The last thing we need to talk about here today is a guy that we both love, and he's having some issues with Dana White that's been going on for a couple of months now, but it's Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, who did not want to fight TJ Dillashaw, not because he's scared of TJ, in my opinion. It's that he feels like TJ does not deserve a title shot at 125. He has not fought at 125, and that Ray Borg has worked his way up to the top of the rankings, and he was the next guy. He was the guy that Mighty Mouse was promised, and that he wants to do that fight and then would consider a TJ Dillashaw fight. Now, Dana has come back and said, well, if he wants Ray Borg, we'll give him Borg, but no one's going to want to watch that fight. I'm going to want to watch that fight just because I think Mighty Mouse is at that level now where he's a must-watch fighter. He might not knock everyone out, but he's so fun to watch. He's absolutely impressive. But Dana has still not minced words and basically said that, you know, the UFC has been talking about, even before the deal with WME IMG, that they were talking about trying to sell off the 125 division because no one cares about the 125 division.
I sure hope that that's just Dana just talking, just to hear himself talk, because I don't think that that would be anything that not only the hardcore fans, but just... I think they'd be bad for the sport to get rid of that weight class. That wouldn't make a lick of sense. And again, it goes back to something we were talking about earlier about, you know, people just want to see knockouts. Yeah, well, that's true. But also there's a lot of people out there that want to see the whole chess match that goes into a mixed martial arts fight.
Right.
And a lot of that happens at these smaller weight classes because they don't have the power to necessarily knock their opponents out. So there's so much that goes into it. And it's a war of attrition in there. A lot of these fights go the distance. And you really get to see who the more high leveled mixed martial artist is. That would be really, really disheartening if they were to do that. I hope they don't.
And it was funny, someone brought up some comments that Dana had made after Mighty Mouse had won his last fight. And he said, oh, my God, the way he just gets better and better every single time out there. He's one of the best fighters I've ever seen. He's the pound-for-pound, like, greatest. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I don't think he used the phrase pound-for-pound greatest. But then recently, over the last couple of weeks, he has said, people always call the media has Mighty Mouse is the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. He's like, I don't think he is. I think Conor is the best pound-for-pound. Mighty Mouse, I don't think, is anywhere close to that. Which I think is a slap in the face to the greatest defending champion who will be once he wins one more title fight in UFC history.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I completely am on board with you there. I understand why Conor is more popular.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson has done nothing but go out and impress time in and time out. And he's one of the best of all time, and he deserves to be treated as such. So I feel for the guy and how he's been kind of getting the short end of the stick, no pun intended, here with the UFC.
And you wonder, too, Dana was so reticent to add female fighters for a long time.
And he said he wouldn't. You know, he always said he wouldn't. Yeah. No, I'm not going to do it. And now it's looking great.
It's a big moneymaker for him. Yeah. Some of the biggest stars. Ronda Rousey was probably the biggest star at one time in the UFC. She came from the women's ranks at 135. And on top of that one, he seemed reticent to bringing on the 125-pound weight class and some of the lower weight classes, and then finally did. And now he's almost having a little pushback onto it. I think you should have more weight classes, not less than that, but we shall see. There's still some rumors that the Dillashaw-Mighty Mouse fight could still happen. They're just negotiating. These are just ploys to get more money for both sides or less money for the UFC to have to pay. But we'll see. As long as I see Mighty Mouse fight one more time. And if he doesn't, you know what could happen? I don't know what his contract, how many fights he has left. But if he has any fights left, maybe fight those, get them out, and then go elsewhere. Because I'm sure a Bellator or or that new professional fighters league would spend a ton of money to get him in tow.
Yeah, I can't imagine him fighting anywhere outside of the UFC. Doesn't that seem just crazy?
It does, but he's 30 years of age.
Yeah.
Think of that. He's 30, and he might be the greatest pound-for-pound fighter we've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully just things go well for him, and he gets the respect that he deserves because, again, he's one of the best.
You know who's going to get a lot of respect here coming up on our next episode, Ryan?
Who's that?
The UFC 213 fighters and also our great interviews. You want to preview the big card coming up
next time around? UFC, yeah, we'll definitely preview that. Maybe I actually spoke to Aaron Lacy the other day, and he's like, when are you going to have me back on so we can break down some fights? So maybe that's a time to get him back in here, and we could talk about his next upcoming fight as well. But on our next episode, episode 62, we're going to have Chris Luttrell, the head coach of one Claudia Gadella, the number one ranked UFC fighter in the women's strawweight division. And we're also going to have Pat Casey, who, if you don't know who this guy is, he is on the rise. He just won his second belt in the amateur ranks, and he has goals to make the UFC one day here soon. So we're going to talk to him about all that. So plenty more stuff to cover here, Brian, on the next episode and beyond.
Yep, we got a lot of great stuff after our little bit of respite here, just to rest and relax. But we are back with more MMA content and better than ever. And we're going to continue to do so. We'll have another episode, as Ryan alluded to, coming your way here soon. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.